Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. From the Book of Nahum, the Burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum the Elkoshite, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. And Huzzab shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her, as with the voice of doves, tabering upon their breasts. But Nineveh is of old, like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions, and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lion's whelp, and none made them afraid? The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with ravin. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth. And the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populous No, that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and flieth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? This book of Nahum is categorized as one of the lesser prophets, one of the minor prophets. So too for all of the prophets other than those who are considered the great prophets. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And then there's Daniel. I'm not quite sure where he fits in. Right. Interestingly enough, though, Jesus Christ made it clear that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. And lo and behold, he doesn't have a book of the Bible, does he? Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. John the Baptist does not have a book of the Bible. And yet, Jesus said he was the greatest prophet. Oh, well. And I have been in too many churches where I have heard John the Baptist derided the same way that Elijah is derided. And there again, what about Elijah? What about Elisha? Well, they don't seem to rate, do they? This is the foolishness of men, of theologians, of religious experts, of doctors of the law. But God has no use for such. This book of Nahum in the Old Testament. So many churches and denominations across this nation, the United States of America, and throughout the Western world, the former Christendom, have little or no use for the Old Testament. They may make use of Psalms, perhaps Proverbs, so forth. But many of them discount the Old Testament altogether. And do damage to the New Testament as well. The thing about prophecies, as I have mentioned and will mention in time to come for as long as I'm able to, is that they invariably not only speak to a particular person, tribe, people, nation at a particular time, but they also speak of time to come for other peoples. That's the usual case with prophecies. Now, prophecies that are speaking specifically, directly concerning the Messiah, typically a different situation, but these prophecies from the Old Testament, way back when, they spoke to times at hand, times in the near future for them, but they also speak to times that are yet to come. This is true in the book of Nahum and in virtually all of these prophets, these so-called lesser prophets or minor prophets, as well as the great prophets, as well as the outstanding prophets who are not included within these ranks. When God Almighty here, through Nahum, speaks concerning Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, of the Assyrian kingdom, of the exceedingly brutal, savage Assyrian kingdom, he is speaking for that period of time, in the near future, comparatively near future, from Nahum. But when he speaks of times yet to come, It goes all the way, fast forwards all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, through the millennia, to a time that is very near at hand for us. You will find significant similarity between these programs in Messenger, Watchmen, Declare and Contend, and in some of the messages from Christ's resurrection of life body. Only because I've mixed them up a bit there, I really intended for the messages concerning coming judgment, pending judgment, to be focused within Messenger, Watchmen, Declare and Contend. But you will find some also under the other messages. The burden of Nineveh. Again, I hate that term burden here, but because of what God says concerning it elsewhere, not to use that term, but the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous. Oh, but jealousy is wrong. Jealousy is bad. Really? No. God is jealous. Righteously jealous. Yes, there is absolutely, positively, definitely such a thing as righteous jealousy. And apart from this jealousy of God, there are altogether too many men who foolishly, callously give their wives cause for jealousy. And then there are any number of women who do the same. And then there are some people who take it upon themselves to be jealous over people whom they have no right to be jealous over. People they are not married to, that they are not intimately in sin involved with, and yet who still make such claims. I have suffered such. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And even though God Almighty requires governments, nations, to avenge the shedding of blood, to avenge the innocent blood, nonetheless, of course, in these modern times, our modern, formerly Christian nations, formerly Christendom, they believe that it is wrong, it is inhumane, and so forth, to avenge those who have been so terribly, monstrously destroyed by evil ones. That just would be wrong. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. I know as a boy, I was bullied here and there, and I was altogether too slow to anger, too sweet, too kind, too good to anger. And yet, that's nothing compared to God. I know you find it hard to believe that, but I got over it somewhat. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Unlike these formerly Christian nations, these Western nations that do acquit the wicked, that, oh, well, they've paid their debt to society, you know, after a year or two or three or four, whatever. And then we release them after treating them like VIPs while they were in custody. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Indeed, this is not just some sort of metaphor here, contrary to those who take such poetic license with God's word. But back to God will not at all acquit the wicked. For those who would have us believe that the wicked, the evil, the monstrous destroyers will also inherit eternal life, God will not at all acquit the wicked. But wait a minute, this is the Old Testament. The Old Testament doesn't count because the New Testament is so different. Really. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. But this isn't from some sham prophet, the kind that you can find in various charismatic and Pentecostal churches across this nation and throughout the Western world. This is a genuine prophet of God who states that the Lord will not at all acquit the wicked. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. God can do that. Oh, global climate change, and we need to, you know, it's terrible. We need to do all manner of things to stop it in its tracks and all of that. Of course, nothing pertaining to repentance towards God. If we go back to the early days preceding the United States of America, the days during the Pilgrims and the Puritans here in this new land, when they suffered drought, famine, disease, what was their response? It was repentance towards God, praying to God. They didn't need to engage so much in the way of voluntary fasting because they had so much involuntary fasting. But, which is not to say they did not. But, all these geniuses who are insisting that what's going on with climate cycles and so forth now is so different from before. This is some new thing, and it's man-made, supposedly. Really. Every time a volcano erupts, there is greater substance put into the atmosphere, resulting in climate change, than all of these man-made things put together. But he rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. But of course, again, we people, we brilliant people, we do not need to seek God. We don't need to worship God. We don't need to pray to God. We don't need to repent towards God because, again, these geniuses concerning climate change, they're not worshipers of God, to put it gently. But we need government action to save us. In government we trust. Instead of having governments trust in God, governments of man trust in God and seek to obey God. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry and drieth up all the rivers. This is spoken of in the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament, if you will. Now, as far as these chronologies, again, beware chronologies or chronological order because they invariably err, it seems like. But the things spoken of here in Nahum and in these other lesser prophets time and again are referred to in the book of Revelation. The book of the revelation of St. John the Divine, the book of the revelation of God the Father to God the Son to the Apostle John via an angel of the Lord. Coincidence? I think not. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The hills melt. Well, clearly this is metaphor, right? No. No, earthquakes can result in molten flows, can't they? Earthquakes amongst the hills and mountains can result in molten flow down those hills and mountains and make them melt under the molten lava. And then, of course, out-and-out earthquakes can do that. And the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein, exactly as it says in the book of Revelation. Who can stand before his indignation and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. And the rocks are thrown down by him. This can happen any number of ways. Certainly, you can have landslides galore with earthquakes and what have you. But you can also have volcanoes literally casting not just rocks, but boulders miles away. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them that trust in him. He knows directly, not via some church registry or some such. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies again, as it states in Revelation. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Now, you could say, well, this pertains to Nineveh, capital of the kingdom of Assyria, that Nineveh will be utterly destroyed. It will not rise up to power. It will not become a center of domination of areas around it again. But you could also say this pertains to the casting down of Satan and the beast and the false prophet ushering in the millennial reign of Christ. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. This is this Satan, or is this the beast, the Antichrist? The false prophet who serves the beast, who's also a beast, who exercises the same powers as the beast. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. So as God Almighty passes judgment on the Assyrian kingdom and its capital, Nineveh, which he spared by sending Jonah, spared previously, by sending Jonah to preach. To preach what to them? To preach the good news, good tidings? No, to preach that in 40 days Nineveh would be overthrown, would be destroyed. But Jonah fled from the Lord. But finally God persuaded him, and he went. And the king at that time over Assyria. He repented, and he ordered all people to do so. And Assyria was saved, was spared at that time. But now, as God Almighty pronounces that he shall overthrow, destroy Nineveh and Assyria, he proclaims that he will deliver, free, rescue, save, spare these who have been held in captivity there, who have been afflicted, who have suffered at the hands of the Assyrians. His own people, who were led into captivity because of their sins, their rebellion against God. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods, out of the house of the gods of the Assyrians, will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. This is a reference that is much appreciated in many churches, but is used expressly with regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and with good reason. But interesting placement here in the book of Nahum in the Old Testament. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows. That's right. When we vow, we need to keep those vows, lest we suffer from the Lord for failing to do so. Therefore, we should be very, very, very careful about making vows. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. The wicked, this savage Assyrian kingdom, shall be utterly cut off. But also this is for a time that is near at hand for us. And the wicked who shall crush the entire world under their regime, they shall be utterly cut off by the Lord. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Best not be partying hardy before such things transpire. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red, red with blood. The valiant men are in scarlet. Does that mean that they are wearing scarlet? Perhaps. But perhaps they are covered with blood. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Now, I have no experience with chariots, but this makes me think of headlights on a vehicle. And those vehicles can include vehicles other than automobiles, motorcycles. This can include trucks, not just recreational vehicles, military trucks, armored personnel carriers, and so forth. All manner of armor, as it is referred to. But back then, it was referring to chariots. But in the time near at hand, I think this is referring to modern day chariots. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. But to no avail. You notice that? To no avail. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. This is prior to the rivers being dried up, I think. And Huzzab shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as with the voice of doves, tabering upon their breasts. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver. Take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store in glory out of all the pleasant furniture, despite all of the great riches and all of the great defenses and all of the mightiest army of this particular kingdom, this mighty, savage, vicious, predatory kingdom. It shall be to no avail. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions, and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lions whelp, and none made them afraid? The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with ravin. Likening these kings of Assyria to lions, because of their strength, their power, their savagery, their domination. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. I confess I do not understand this concerning I will cut off thy prey from the earth, because it makes it sound as if those who have been taken prey by this savage kingdom shall be slain instead of delivered. But you notice he says, the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Now, messengers can be ambassadors, can't they? And while many in this day and age think in terms of ambassadors being all about negotiating peace and that sort of thing, and it's very benevolent and beneficent, that is not the historical role of ambassadors. Perhaps you have seen various movies which have indicated that, for instance, the Roman Empire used its ambassadors to demand surrender, unconditional surrender. And if those whom were demanded to surrender did not, they would be destroyed. But being an ambassador was a very dangerous though highly honored, position. Because ambassadors would go meet the adversary by themselves without an army right there with them, and they could very easily, very quickly be slaughtered. But there are other kinds of messengers as well, which I will get to shortly. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Well, there are many exceedingly high and mighty theologians who would say this is all long ago, far away, antiquated, archaic, has no import for today, has no utility for us. This is all ancient antiquity. Well, while the means of war have changed, to imagine that this is not given by God as prophecy for this time as well as then is folly indeed, is blindness, is willful ignorance on the part of these high and mighty theologians and religious types and doctors of the law and Christian Pharisees and what have you, Christian Sadducees aplenty. There is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Revelation speaks of mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, exactly in agreement with this description. But that's for time to come, which happens to be drawing very, very, very near, very close at hand. Now, while there would be those who would say, well, clearly, I mean, this is just referring to Nineveh of Assyria. Assyria, as savage a kingdom as it was, and it was a powerful kingdom in its own right, it was nonetheless a very limited, small kingdom compared to the Babylonian Chaldean Empire, which was overthrown by the Medes and the Persians. Their empire became the empire of the Medes and the Persians, which then was overthrown by the Grecian Empire, the Macedonian Grecian Empire, which then morphed into the Roman Empire. The Assyrian Empire was inferior. So this matter that this mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, while that undoubtedly took place in Nineveh of Assyria, nonetheless, that is that is superseded by mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots that is referred to in Revelation. The descriptions are essentially identical. But while the expanse, the power, the domination of the Assyrian kingdom was limited, the Nineveh Assyria that is referred to that shall be overthrown in this time that this prophecy is for, not so much, as you shall see, or as I shall say. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft, that enslaves nations, whole nations and families via witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Again, this is directly in agreement with what is stated in the revelation of God the Father to God the Son to John the Apostle via the angel of the Lord. Directly in agreement. Because this prophecy was for then, and it is for a time to come that is drawing ever so near at hand. Art thou better than populous No? That mighty city of Egypt that was situate among the rivers, had a moat of rivers about it for defense, that had the waters round about it to defend it, whose rampart was the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the ocean, for defense and offense. And her wall was from the sea, entirely walled around. So they had the defense of the Mediterranean Sea, and then they had the defense of these fabulous walls, bulwarks, ramparts. And then they were surrounded by these rivers, a veritable moat. And it was an exceedingly mighty city, state in Egypt. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength. She could rely on all of the riches and power and armies of Egypt and Ethiopia. And if that wasn't enough, and it was infinite, according to God, then there is Put and Lubim, who also provided armies, mighty armies. Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children, her little children, were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets. How utterly monstrous. And they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. They should have saved the children alive and slaughtered these great men. Thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall fall into the mouth of the eater. So much for strongholds. They shall be overthrown easily, quickly, and utterly. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. Different ways to interpret that. Certainly, you can view it as being This is literal. It's that the armies have been slaughtered. That the only people left, the children have been slaughtered. The great men have been put in chains. The only people left are women. But there are other ways to view it, no doubt. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. So there shall be no protection, no defense. The enemies shall pour in. Draw thee waters for the siege, because it would be besieged for a bit anyway. Fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln to no avail. There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locusts, but to no avail. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and flieth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. So as No of Egypt was violently, monstrously overthrown and destroyed, so too Nineveh of Assyria will be. Fascinating picture of the captains, you know, the great military leaders, right? The top leaders. Terms captains and generals are routinely used interchangeably here. And what is their response? They're going to run for the hills. They're going to flee away. They are going to try to escape. Instead of standing and fighting and defending those that are left, they shall flee for their lives. So their captains, their generals, they've been good for what? Well, overseeing things, supervising things, while their mighty armies have savaged other nations. But now that they're on the receiving end, they will be fleeing for their lives. They have no valor, no heroism, no self-sacrifice to seek to defend these women and people. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous, and all that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. All that hear the bruit of thee, the moaning of these Assyrians, and or the raucous celebration of the brutes who have overthrown them. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? Back again to this well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. For many, many years now, many years, decades, Nineveh, Assyria, to me, I can't get away from thinking it always makes me think New York, America. Nineveh, New York. Assyria, America. It always makes me think that. Now, maybe there's no connection, right? Maybe New York is not the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Okay? The great city spoken of that ruleth the kings of the world that is condemned in Revelation. How many possible locations are there? How many possible candidates for that city are there? Well, there's New York City. And then you can include Washington, D.C. if you care to, and Los Angeles if you care to. And perhaps some would consider London to be a candidate or Paris to be a candidate. And then there's Rome. And some will say Jerusalem, I imagine. But I can't help but think it's New York. Well, wait a minute. New York doesn't have any ramparts and these walls for defense and all of that. No, it has Long Island Sound, right? And the East River and what have you. It has military stationed ever so nearby. It has towers, that's for sure. It has messengers. Not only is there the United Nations with all of its ambassadors and diplomats and what have you, diplomatic attachés, but also another type of messengers. New York City is the media capital, not only of the United States of America, but of the world. There are other media giant cities in the world. But in the United States of America, New York City is numero uno, followed by Los Angeles, and then Chicago. In the world, what would the competitors be? There are some major players, heavy hitters, but they would be limited to the likes of London, Paris, and so forth. Certainly not Jerusalem. But New York City, numero uno, media capital. Elsewhere in God's word, in the Old Testament, we are told this same thing, but a little bit differently. The way it's worded here is, the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Elsewhere, it is described more akin to, and this is not a quote, but a paraphrase, the great voice shall no more be heard. Or the great voice in thee shall no more be heard. Something that is coming. If not New York City, then where? Here in the United States of America, of course, the generals, the high-ranking generals, whether they be four-star, five-star, three-star, two-star, what have you, so many of them, not all of them, but many of them are extremely proficient at celebrations, at marches and things like that. Less great at leading men into battle. And of course, our military now being what it is. But something to look forward to. This is near at hand. This is coming very soon. This is very close at hand. If not New York, America, then where? It certainly is not Nineveh, Assyria anymore. But Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty God, Lord and King, Master Savior, save thy people, rescue thy people, defend thy people from destruction. keep them from being destroyed in the destruction of those cities and nations which have earned thy anger, thy jealousy, thy hatred by serving Satan instead of serving thee. In Jesus' holy name, amen.